politics without the soap opera, with unfiltered constitutional conservative truth. The Conservative Review with Daniel Horowitz.
And welcome back, fellow American patriots and Minutemen, standing at the ready to fight anew for everything that matters in our life. Life itself, liberty, property, standard of living, our minds, bodies, souls, you name it, everything in between. It is all on the line. We have a plan for all of it here at CR Podcast. Daniel Horowitz, your host, back in the house today at Blaze Media, June 14th, and happy Flag Day. Or is it a happy Flag Day? What does the flag mean to you? What do the stars and stripes mean to you in 2023 in the America we live in today? I'm dead serious about that. Certainly, the nostalgia will always fill a sacred place in our heart in terms of what it did stand for and the country it did reflect and still reflects in the past. But does it mean anything today? Because it meant that, well, that's our country. Those are our values. But no, I mean, whether we like it or not, the rainbow flag is today's American flag. It's not just a couple of usurpers. That does reflect the power structure of America. What does it mean to you? See, to me, it used to mean, almost like you find in the Bible, Judges, each man's able to live peacefully under his grapevine and fig tree. Because of that flag and really what it represents, we could live quietly in relative peace and prosperity with two oceans surrounding us while there's a bunch of chaos, decadence, and craziness throughout the world. Boy, are we glad we got away from Europe and broke off and came here. And that's kind of what it meant. But now it means something very different. Because you can't just live happily under your grapevine and your fig tree. They're coming for you. You can't just be inactive. Inaction is not an option. That is no longer an option on the menu. So we're going to talk about later. We're going to have a guest from South Dakota with his land being grabbed by carbon capture pipelines, green energy, Agenda 2030. The worst sort of like European, urban, 15-minute city, COVID fascist Great Reset agenda in rural South Dakota with the Republican Party joining in on it, and nobody gives a darn to lift a finger, even though those that are under the influence of conservative media alone hold the keys to stopping that policy. You can't just move to somewhere and live freely. No. But I want to first start off with another aspect that represents how America has changed and how easy it is to fight it. But again, inaction, inaction, inaction. Now, speaking of inaction, one of the things you better take action on is to resupply yourself with your critical drugs. As we talk so much, we have become dependent on China and India, and this is done on purpose. They don't want you to have property. They don't want you to have energy. They don't want you to have food. They don't want you to have medicine. So right now, before the apocalypse fully comes upon us, go to jacemedical.com, enter code REVIEW at checkout for a discount to apply for a subscription for a 12-month supply of your existing prescriptions. So if you have a prescription for mental health, for blood pressure, heart health, diabetes, whatever it is in shortage. I mean, we've had this with our family now. It's a big, big problem. Also, increasingly, by the way, aside from the shortages, they give you so many freaking problems. One day we'll talk about this with the pharmacies, the runaround you get nowadays. It's like if it's heroin and marijuana, it's like, boy, is it, you know, it's free everywhere. Open air drug markets in Baltimore. But anything else, oh, it's a regulated this or we can't get it. So it's not just the supply shortages. There's also our messed up healthcare system, as we saw during COVID. So again, go to jacemedical.com. Fill out a 10-minute survey so the doctors associated with them know to give you the prescription, offer code REVIEW at checkout, and you will be prepared responsibly for the Fourth Reich. So I want to read to you, you know, there's a lot of news of the day and, you know, we could catch up on that. But I want to read to you an email that brings this out on Flag Day. You know, the flag obviously most evidently represented the military more than any other part of the country. And just understand what has happened to our military. And I want you, as I'm reading this, to think about and reminisce about the failure of anyone in the Republican Party and on the right to properly address this. Finally, Kevin McCarthy said, I'm going to hold up the NDAA to end the mandate in the military. But that just showed that could have been done a year and a half earlier. But as we've noted, it's not over. What they're doing now is they're not rectifying all the damage they gave to these people. So, for example, I noted in some ways they're asking people to come back with the National Guard, people that left. They're saying, you're derelict, you're AWOL if you don't come back. Well, what do you mean? They moved on with their lives. You can invite them back and offer them to come back, but you can't force them back. That's one way, one thing that needs to be rectified. But also, the widespread discrimination is still taking place. And how the Armed Services Committee and all the subcommittees this week are marking up the NDAA, and I'm not hearing any news about this, to hold these people accountable and make sure that every last person who was discriminated against, an opportunity was taken away from him, or he was demoted or denied a promotion, that is immediately rectified. My husband and I, this is from Caitlin, I won't say her last name, had been Blaze members for a few years, and it's about time our story was told, and to be frank, we need help. My husband is, I won't say his name, he's a captain, has been fighting the COVID vaccine mandate since day one. He was a member of the Spence v. Austin case before he was picked up by the class action lawsuit later. Many Americans think that the fight was won over the issue in the armed services once Congress forced the services to undo the mandate. However, this has not happened in our case and in many others. My combat action medal recipient husband is still facing adverse action. He's a C-17 mobility pilot, currently serving as a triple qualified evaluator pilot at the Air Force Academy. My husband was supposed to pin on the rank of major last December. The promotion was delayed last year as a result of the adverse action after refusing to take the vaccine. The rank was supposed to be delayed until May 1st, which was recently, and it was supposed to be backdated retroactively to December, but his command had a promotion ceremony on May 1st, and as of today, he's found out that the promotion is being revoked or technically not being completed by the Secretary of the Air Force, so he's still a captain. This is just, and you know, I'm just skipping here, this is just the current damage. Our story is much longer than this. My husband last spring held the position of Commander's Action Group, CAG, at the Air Force Academy. The position is usually held by LTCs, and my husband was rewarded based on merit and recommendation for the position. Upon finding out that my husband was pursuing a religious exemption, meaning even before anything happened with that, the personnel manager at the office fired him from CAG when he confronted her that he felt that was a form of religious discrimination. She responded, I don't care. He has experienced everything from letters of reprimand, delayed promotion, and almost 2 years of no flight time. He was only recently allowed to start flying again, and even that took months to get accomplished. My husband is an excellent pilot that the Air Force chose not to utilize for over a year because literally he didn't take a poison for which the people pushing it belong in prison. And I should mention that despite constant force testing and ample time instructing Air Force Academy cadets, he has never contracted COVID. My husband was even awarded the flight instructor of the quarter for the 12th Flying Training Wing in the fall of 2020. When his peers were afraid of COVID, he was mentoring and instructing our next generation of Air Force officers without fear. And again, it's these type of men that they're purposely trying to drum out of the military for obvious reasons. This fight has not been without personal sacrifice. She knows that she's had major medical problems with their youngest son, as spina bifida, that had to have all these surgeries, so all the while they're on the hook to lose their health insurance. My husband is a man of honor who has served honorably since 2013, who is well on his way to command. We wanted to serve 20, 30 years, meaning a lot longer than you need to, because we believe in our nation, we believe in his oath. Alan has over 50 of his peers of all ranks and positions write for him personal letters of character recommendation, response to his adverse actions. In no way did we think that this is the way that he would serve out the oath, defending the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Yet we stand here with resolve. We are weary as a family, and the fight never seems to end. Every American, even Americans in our own circle, think we already won this fight. But we haven't. We need the damage undone. We need the damage to stop coming. We need new AFIs written allowing future generations to get immunization accommodations approved. Right now, Congress has put a simple and small Band-Aid on a festering wound. And there's a lot to digest there just in terms of what has happened to our nation, what has happened to our military. But there's a broader lesson as well as a specific action item. Obviously, the specific action item is how in the world is something this destructive, indefensible, immoral, and illegal, and also extremely unpopular? I mean, if you polled people, should service members be demoted based on not getting the vaccination status now in June 2023? I mean, it's a 90-10 issue. And yet, where is the fight? But it's emblematic of a broader thing. We satiate ourselves on Mr. Trump, our talking points, but we don't do anything, including about that, by the way. It's like the whole Burisma scandal with Biden, the Biden bribe. Are they going to actually do anything about it? This is the thing. We go on to the next thing. We don't do anything. And I love how she says, like, we always think we won. It's like we think COVID is over with. But everything they built, from the emergency powers to the scientific fascism and the poor treatment, the poor healthcare, and then obviously, certainly the warp speed and the creation of a biomedical terrorist vaccination hell. I mean, they're literally approved the RSV shots. Done. We haven't won anything. Because you can't win if you think you already won, and you can't win if you don't care about winning for real. If it's all just perception and perspective and talking points and posturing and virtue signaling, well, then it doesn't have to be real. But there's real lives in danger. And that's really the point I want to get across today, both with Caitlin's husband from one of our Blaze subscribers in the Air Force, as well as our next guest. And that is, the left is so good at strategically creating a crisis to squeeze our necks, but then they stop short right before there's going to be a whole-scale rebellion, and Republicans go along with that. And then, unfortunately, the people that did cross the Rubicon, where for them it is existential, there's just not enough of them. There's plenty of people in the military like that case, but as a percentage of the military and certainly the population at large, it's a tiny percentage. And it's the same thing with our next guest. You don't have enough people having their land stolen for green energy, so you don't have a critical mass. So with COVID, they went up to the line and then they retreated a little bit, but not really. They're reloading. Same thing with inflation. I don't have time to get into it, but I wanted to get to some of the inflation numbers. It's like they go up to the line, it goes crazy, and then it hasn't gone down. It's just plateauing. It's not increasing, although some categories are. So it's like, and the people absorb it. People are very resilient. And that's what I always say. It hasn't gotten bad enough. But what the Republican Party brilliantly does is, again, it's like either you spit up an item when you're choking, you either spit it up or you could swallow it. But we come to some sort of resolution. They perfectly keep it right in that middle. See, I either want to resolve it through the front door or then make it that everyone understands how bad it is so you have some sort of existential resolution. But instead, it's just enough that we just Keep it going. Keep it going. With that, I want to get to our next guest. Our interview today is sponsored by our friends at Barrel Buddy. You know, guns are very expensive. Speaking of inflation, it's insane how much, even just a polymer striker fire costs these days. A good handgun. Gone are the days when you can get a quality handgun for $300. So you want to take care of it. And often it's not very enjoyable cleaning a gun, but it's something you got to do for the functionality of it to make sure it's safe. After you run a couple hundred rounds, certainly 1,000 rounds through it, you want to always clean it. And, you know, the boar snakes don't really work. All of the worst thing is, you know, you have a lot of sharp pieces. So when you go with these little cloths, they could leave lint in them, and that's not good either. Barrel Buddy is a cartridge that compresses, goes perfectly through the barrel. But recently I was using it. It's not just the barrel. It has a really good connection with any surface, even just to use it not as a cylinder compression, but just to rub against any of the parts of the barrel, of the ramp of the barrel, different parts, all the metal and metallic parts that you're supposed to clean. You could lube it as well. It gives you a nice clean application. $15 for 50 cartridges. I use about 3-4 per cleaning. So for $15, that gets you a nice amount of cleaning. With one packet, you could easily probably do a full year's worth. So again, barrelbuddy.com today. That's barrelbuddy.com today. Don't let your guns go dirty. So in order to frame our next interview, I want to make it personal for a second. I live here in Maryland, and everyone's like, what the heck, Daniel? Why do you live in such a crazy state? Well, obviously, I mean, this is where my family roots have been for a long time, but I do want to move. I want to move somewhere, but tell me where I should move. Now, one of the top places that I typically hear about is South Dakota. Man, Daniel's a lot of freedom there. You should consider South Dakota. I happen to like the cold weather, so it's maybe a cold weather alternative to Florida. And again, I'll be able to live under my grapevine, my fig tree, all in peace. But then imagine moving to rural northeast South Dakota. And you're like, you know, for example, where I am here, you have this insane green agenda, literally built off of pseudoscience, maniacal ideas, ideas that don't make sense from any political perspective. They're banning plastic bags. They're degrading our standard of living here. There's no limit to what they're going to do. Eventually, I'm going to have to leave because it's one of these states where they're going to ban normal cars. All right, so I go to South Dakota. But then suddenly, you have a massive company that's connected to China, connected to foreign interests, connected to Republican lobbyists, that wants to build a pipeline not to deliver energy, but to capture carbon. I mean, the most absurd thing you could imagine in the world, the notion that you're going to lay out the premise and agree to the premise that carbon is unsafe and the only way you could have functioning energy is if you offset it with capture, and somehow you're going to build enough pipelines and then storage caverns underground in perpetuity until you know, God plants his feet on the Mount of Olives to store all of the carbon we use. I mean, it's not even ideological. It's just insane. But if you're trying to grift in the short term and government's going to pony up the money, well, why not? Let's get in on it. So we've talked about this a couple times before. There are landowners on the route to this Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline they're building from Iowa through Nebraska and South Dakota, and somehow going to dump into central North Dakota. And there's real lives on the line here, that they are stealing people's land for something that is so onerous, something that will facilitate this net zero Agenda 2030 nonsense that should be a non-starter everywhere, much less in a state where there aren't enough Democrats to even populate all the legislative committees. Yet the legislation that was done to end the eminent domain, or that was crafted to end the eminent domain, or at least to treat it like a public carrier. In other words, right now, they could just take you to court without the Utilities Commission ruling that's in a public interest. So they could just say, hey, we're a public carrier. We're a pipeline. We're coming in. Here's the summons. That's it. Go take it or leave it. We'll reimburse you. But we're getting that pipeline through your land. And I am shocked that there is no outrage. And I truly believe if the top 30 voices in conservative media would go and train their fire and say, wait a minute, Kristi Noem, this is your state. You shouldn't have carbon capture going on at all, much less stealing people's land for it. You need to convene a special session and pass that bill to certainly at least take away this extra degree of eminent domain that they don't even have to go through the state government to do it. But yet it's cricket. So I want you guys to hear from a real life story. One of these people who got a court summons was Jared Bosley. He's a Brown County landowner and farmer for four generations. Brown County is kind of in the northeastern part of the state. He's facing a Summit Carbon Solutions summons in court. He was actually accused of threatening people from Carbon Solutions who was doing a survey on his property for simply just, you know, telling him to get off his land. He was obviously cleared of all charges, but was ordered to stay 100 yards away from their surveyors. So it's literally the inmates running the asylum there. They run your land. It's truly unbelievable. We need to do something about it. Jared, thanks so much for joining us today to tell your story.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, and all my pipeline family, we appreciate the chance to get this story out there, because it is a very concerning deal, which it should be for anybody who owns any type of property. So kind of a general background, this pipeline thing's trying to come through my homestead is, and that would be, and where they want to come through, they want to run north of the farm, north of my old shelter belt, and we have planted a bunch of new trees to kind of redo shelter belts and set up more stuff for the cattle. And where they want to run through, they're going to go through these new trees, and for the ranch to give the next generation, the fifth generation, a chance to come back here and expand the cattle herd, we have to go north. That's just how the lay of the land is here. We got kind of a slew creek to the east and a property line to the west. So the only option is north, and that's right where they want to put this pipeline, and they kind of get to come in and just take it. We've done everything right and we're living off the land, but they just get to come, you know, and take it. And then they made up false accusations against me that I threatened these surveyors. I never did any of that. I was 10 miles away in a field planting. They just made up. They signed affidavits. They were complete lies. And state's attorney, the judges, nobody's going after them.
I want to start from the beginning, before the accusation that, you know, you attacked the surveyors. But before that, did you first get a court summons or some sort of offer, a financial payout, before the surveyors came? Or the surveyors just came to your property one day without notice?
Well, we got summons. They gave like a final offer deal and we weren't going to take it. And then they said the next step will start the condemnation process to start this eminent domain thing.
And so they offered you a deal. They offered you a deal. Now, could you just describe for our audience? So some people might think, all right, well, you know, it's not like they totally, I mean, they grab it, but they offer to pay. Is it not worth the money?
It's not. Well, this land is not for sale, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Out here, it's just not for all future things here. But what they offered is not even what like the local land sales and auctions are bringing. And this stuff, like, it was almost, it's been just slaps in the face. And they have always increased their offers, but they're still not close. It sounds like a big deal, but they're paying you for wet crops for multiple years. And this ground through here, we just don't have a lot of black dirt. That's just how it is. So you never, like, you just don't, once you do a project like this, it just never really comes back. And I know there's places around that have had pipelines in the ground for 40 years, and they can still see the yield loss on their yield maps and stuff from their combines. So it's
could you describe that a little bit more in case some people are wondering? So you're saying, you know, the compensation is underwhelming for what it is, even, and obviously, like you're saying, you know, if you have a family homestead, you want to keep it. Sometimes it could be priceless, but you know, they're not even the payment is not enough. But could you describe, so it's not a case where they're taking, literally just taking away all the land that sometimes could happen with, you know, certain eminent domain projects. They're just running a pipeline through it. So how does that, to someone who's not a farmer, how does that affect you in the long term?
Well, they want to run these pipes like kind of diagonal across quarters and across fields. Like they don't follow like a property line or a right of way. They just come right through the absolute middle of this stuff. And once they get the pipe in, yes, we can farm over it, but now you got to worry about wrecking this pipe. They only want to put it in 4 feet deep, and like farm insurances, liability stuff, we can't get liability stuff on that. The company says, oh, don't worry about that. That'll all be fine. But in Mississippi, when that pipe broke, people tried to, you know, come after the pipeline company, and they just filed bankruptcy and just hung all them people, which I kind of believe would probably be the same thing here. I mean, it's, and if you're out there and it breaks, it's pretty much game over for you, because this is a 24-inch pipe and they only got shutoff valves every 20 miles apart. Well, the plume cloud could be 5 miles wide of all the gas that comes out of there. I mean, you can't even get away from it fast enough. And there's just no reason to be putting plant food in a pipe and sticking it in the ground. I mean, everything uses carbon dioxide that is green. So, and I worry too that if they get the eminent domain process, they make this happen and they sell these easements, who's not saying, well, we already know China and these other foreign companies are invested in this. Who's not saying that now China just owns this behind your back, behind your house and by your cattle lots and all that? Like it's just a very frustrating feeling. You're in disbelief this could even be happening in South Dakota. Like you said, I mean, this is a great place. All you hear is, oh, the governor's great, all these things. You should come there. You got all this freedom. Well, I thought we did. now we're kind of starting to get our eyes open and see what really happens when politics and money all get kind of together the way it looks to me. You know, we just want to farm and do our thing out here. And now we got these foreign invested companies, you know, trying to run this pipeline through. You got surveyors from Louisiana pulling in random pickups and poke their nose in my house, poke their nose in the shop, and then make things up about me. And I got to go to court again and shut planters down and hay machines down. And it's just,
can you describe that scene a little bit? So, you know, you disagreed or you refused to take their offer. So to start the process, they sent surveyors in. So describe what happened that day. What was that, in May?
Yeah, it was May, I don't know, May 7th or 3rd, somewhere up in there. It was, so I had left to go plant. I was 10 miles north of the farm. There was nowhere around here. My wife was home. She had gallbladder surgery, so she's recovering from that at home. She sent a text about 10. She goes, well, I was in the shower, heard someone yell in the house. Are you expecting parts or anything like that, or expecting someone to stop? I said, no, there's nobody stopping. I know nothing. Didn't think much of it, you know, whatever. And then she got down out of the shower and went to our computer and turned the cow cameras on. We got a bunch of cameras around to watch feedlots and when we're calving to help monitor them. So she turned them over to the shop where they went, and then they got out of their pickup, went in the shop. Well, a shop is in a totally different parcel of land. It's not in any of the legals for the condemnation process. They already have the order from the judge. They can just go survey. There's no reason for them to come into my house, go into my shop, no reason to even check with me. They already got their order they wanted. They can just go. Well, and we didn't know who it was then, because it's just an unmarked pickup. There's nothing. It's just, like I said, a random pickup, Louisiana plates. Well, odd to see that here in South Dakota. So she went up there to talk to him, called me as she walked across the road to him. I clicked the phone on, and I could hear him say, Summit Surveyors. And all I said was, if it's Summit Surveying, then the sheriff should be involved. I'll deal with this later. And I hung up. I was coming to a water hole with the planter, and I had to go around that and get out and check stuff. That, you know, as far as I knew, the whole conversation was over. And she texts later, just said, oh, they're just leaving, I guess. Well, I guess, good enough, whatever. Well, then a few hours later, 4 or 5 hours later, the detective came out trying to find me, which we didn't cross paths that day. A few days later, we met up. He came out, we talked, and I said, well, what? He goes, what do you want to talk about? I said, you came out to see me the other day. What did you want to talk about? Like, I don't know what's going on yet, you know? And they, then he goes, well, did you threaten those surveyors? I said, I never even talked to them. Like, I was on the phone with Tara and just said, if it's the surveyors, the sheriff should be involved. I didn't say anything about anything else like they made up. So, and then he goes, well, they said you threatened to kill them. Well, so I did not do that. Like, I just kind of laughed. I thought it was so crazy. Well, then, you know, a week goes by, and I then had to go to court for contempt of court because I prevented them from doing the surveying. I was 10 miles away. I was on a phone for 6 seconds, and this is all happening. Like, they're just totally targeting me, making this whole thing up. And then, so when we get to court, we get to that deal, and get up, the judges in the room, and we got all this evidence. We got phone records. We got videos here. We got pictures. Like, I got witnesses that I was planting by up there. They were going to, I mean, could say I was up there. I don't have a pickup. I'm not running home fast. You know, just me and the tractor. That's what I'm up there with. So then the judge, he got up and he goes, well, I'm going to find Mr. Bosley not in contempt, but there's no reason to go through all this evidence. Well, isn't that part of the judge's deal, is find out who's telling the truth or not telling the truth? That was the end of it, he said.
In other words, you wanted to go through with the disposition of the case, and if I get what you're saying, is that you're concerned that, well, on the one hand, you're exonerated, you know, which is good, but on the other hand, you want to get to the bottom of this because this is an intimidation tactic. It's not so much to find you guilty now, but to dissuade anyone from just speaking out against it. Obviously, I think people in this audience will have some very strong feelings about what your rights are and aren't when the government comes deputizing a private agency to do something like this. But you weren't doing that. You spoke out against it. You didn't take their offer, but you literally didn't stop them, and you didn't even say anything to them. And if I just to sum up, and again, we're speaking with Jared Bosley, a Brown County, South Dakota landowner, farmer, fourth generation, is getting his land just condemned for a pipeline, not for oil and gas, but to grab carbon. It's just the most bizarre thing around. And is your major concern this? Like everything else, to say, look, we just want the pipeline. We won't intrude. It won't bother you. We'll pay you. But I think what your case demonstrates is that this is just the tip of the iceberg. If they have this much power to initiate it, like you're saying, if you ever have a dispute, if you ever have a problem with the pipeline, if you ever have a problem with insurance, are you really going to have the upper hand?
Yeah, absolutely not. If this goes through, you're not just giving that little easement away. I feel you're giving up pretty much your rights to that entire quarter, because you can't, like, our future plans, we got, I think I sent you some pictures, the trees are set up, kind of making a lot there for pears, and we talked about putting a couple hoop barns back there. Well, this is right where this goes. You can't do any of those things. And once it's there, I mean, they're never going to just say, oh, well, it's all yours, we're not going to use that pipe. You just don't know what the future's going to hold and who's going to run it and what else is coming next beside it. And if this eminent domain gets used lightly for a private company that is not a public utility, it is 100% the tip of the iceberg, because it's just going to be.
Yeah.
Stuff's going to go wild that way for private things. I mean, there's a place for eminent domain, maybe power lines, highways, things like that. But for public things, you know, stuff that'll help the public. This is a complete money grab. You know, using the 45 tax cue of money that we don't really have, if you pay attention to how in debt the nation is. I don't know why they want to put billions of dollars into something like this where the result is zero. I mean, no one in their right mind would invest $1,000 for the result being zero, let alone $1 billion for zero return.
Nobody.
It's just nobody.
It's crazy. The Scandinavians have looked down on this carbon capture thing, even from the left, green, whatever perspective. I mean, there's literally, it is the most absurd. The economies of scale are so inefficient. The idea of it is just so utterly insane. It blows the mind that it could be serious, but it is serious in your own property. So I noticed recently you made a comment about the governor, and I've been covering this story for maybe a half a year, and I've been surprised at how, you know, we had legislation. I know some guys in the South Dakota House that were pushing it. We've had one on the show, and, you know, they could not get the bill passed in the Senate to, again, take away this private use eminent domain that you could be designated as a carrier, that it would have to be in the public interest designated by the Utilities Commission. That is 100% governed by statute, 100%. So that is 100% within the purview of the legislature. Now, the legislature only meets for 2 months, and then they're gone. And I was shocked at how you have such an existential crisis in, you know, to landowners like this, and they'll just blow through the session without dealing with it. And I was always wondering, like, wait a minute, where's the governor? Now, I'm being a little bit facetious because we know her former chief of staff was the lead lawyer assigning some of these condemnations for Summit Carbon Solutions. All the bigwigs related to her in the South Dakota GOP are involved in Summit. I get that. But how could she not be forced to publicly take a stand? So you evidently, was it a few months ago or last year, you ran into her and asked her about this. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, about a year ago, it was last August, down at Dakota Fest. That's a farm show by Mitchell, South Dakota. We went down there because they were having a forum on this pipeline thing, more or less. They were trying to sell it to everybody how it's such a, If we don't do this, ethanol is going to go away, which that's all just lies too. But after that forum was over, walking out of there, well, Christy was walking in because she had some deal she was going to talk about after this. And I stopped her and I said, can I ask you a couple questions quick? And I said, you ran on property rights. Landowners' rights. That was the number one bullet point on your webpage for a long time. Property rights, right on the top. And I said, this is property rights. I said, how come you're not saying anything about this? Why are you not standing up with us? And she said, it's in the PUC hands. There's nothing she can do about it. And I said, Christy, you are the most powerful person in the state, elected official in the state, I feel. I feel you can do more about it than you think you can. She goes, looks right at me and says, what am I supposed to fight all your battles for you? And I just was shocked that she said it. Yeah, I'm like, well, really? It was just, and there was a kind of a group of us. There was another gal standing beside me. She was trying to ask her a question. But there was 10, 15 of us standing around there. And that's what she said to me. And I'm not making this up. I have the picture of the conversation. And I can get witnesses that heard me say this. I wasn't trying to be mean or anything like that. I was just asking a question. And I mean, when you kind of run for governor, that's kind of part of the job, is to stand up for the people, I thought. But so far we've got no comments from her.
There's two problems with that statement. Number one, the Public Utilities Commission, it's actually not in their hands. That's part of the problem, that unlike in other states, you guys have bad laws that need to be fixed in the sense that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, they're going straight to court without the commission deeming it a public interest because statute doesn't require that.
Yep.
So it's not in their hands. She needs to make it at a minimum in their hands. That's a statutory change. We had a session just a couple months ago with a piece of legislation. She refused to back it. Now, she didn't publicly oppose it, at least publicly. I'm sure her gurus, you know, opposed it. But why didn't she support the legislation? She has a very high approval rating. She absolutely could have done something about that. That is the quintessential job of a governor when you have a statutory flaw that comes to the forefront affecting the property of people, and then you have conservatives in the legislature trying to change that, and you decline to endorse it. That's a huge thing. And then number two, you need now that they're at a session, Kristi Noem needs to be pressured to call a special session to deal with this problem, which leads me to kind of I just want to wrap it up here, the punchline, what people could do. How many people are ultimately affected? Do you have a rough number?
I think there's like 80 or 90, 100-ish kind of getting that have got served papers and condemned so far along this route, and that's just in South Dakota. And that goes down to other states, too. There's, more in Iowa. And there's no state that is standing up for this.
No.
If this was so good for everything, the farmers understand. We're not anti-pipeline. It's just we're anti this one because of the Green New Deal thing. It's just like you said earlier. It is so crazy. And when we talk about it with common sense, like you can hardly believe it. It's even something people are thinking about, let alone coming and taking the land and and pushing this on us. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, North Dakota. I mean, there is no, I don't want to hear but the Democrats. I don't want to hear but the media. The Democrats and the media have nothing to do with it. This is within the own purview of the Republican Party, all those states. This is exclusively a problem in those states. It will expand elsewhere over time, but this project and another, this Navigator pipeline, there's two of them that affect those states. To me, it is shocking. And I guess you answered my question. I thought there were more people affected, but if it's only about 100, this is the problem, that they spread out the misery among a lot of people, usually, that it's not bad enough. And among the people that it's really bad, it's just not enough. And they're like, yeah, screw them. Kind of like what we talked about before I brought you on, the people affected by the vaccine mandate in the military. I get heartbreaking emails every day about, being discriminated against even now, but there's not enough of them. So, no one cares.
Yep.
Do you guys have some sort of legal defense fund, a GoFundMe that people could donate to?
We got a website, sdpropertyrights.com. And I think there's a donation deal on that, and there's a bunch of information about, CO2 pipelines and kind of what we've done on there. That's the best place for someone to go look. We're maybe working on setting some other things up yet, and once I get those informations, I can get that to you too. But for the time being, SouthDakotaPropertyRights.com.
And is it an accurate statement? So SDPropertyRights.com, is it an accurate statement that aside from a couple of members of the South Dakota lower house, there is not a single statewide elected official speaking out on your behalf?
That's correct. Correct. Just some of the local representatives are everybody with upper with power seems to be just doing maybe what Christie's telling them.
So the congressman, you have, what is it, Dusty Johnson, the senators, Thune, and...
Mike Rounds.
I forgot it. Former governor there. Nothing.
We've sent letters and emails, and they've gotten endless amounts of emails and letters and phone calls, and the only group that really even has a little concern or gives you a time of day would be some of the people from Mike Rounds. Other than that, nothing from anybody else. Just complete silence. And we do have some good representatives that are trying to get Kristi back in the session there for a special session to get this stuff, some of these laws straightened out, or it's just opening up a can of worms. Kristi had the commercial when she was running for governor that her dad said, don't sell the land, Kristi, don't sell the land because they're not making any more of it. So I guess don't sell her land, but come take all of our land, I guess was maybe what she meant to say in the motto, I guess. It's just crazy. She'd say one thing and then absolutely do nothing on the other hand, or the totally opposite of what she said. And it's frustrating that we're not getting any support from any of them.
This is so emblematic of these people. They'll talk to level 100, but won't even do a level 1-2. The most bare minimum life, liberty, property, against the onslaught of something that anyone with a brain, much less conservative, should oppose. And I love the way how you said land use, you know, because we talk, you know, land is something that you don't make any more of. Part of the whole green agenda is saying that everything is finite. But then what they're doing is, you know, the amount of land use you need for the creation, dissemination, transmission, and use of wind and solar and batteries and carbon capture, all this stuff is just, it is so counterproductive to their own supposed stated goals. I mean, we know kind of what their real goal
is. I know there's a solar panel project proposed out west of here just a little bit. And they say, you know, we have to do this Green New Deal stuff. So they're going to just clear 3,000 acres. I mean, there's going to be no trees and be nothing on there.
Yep.
And they're going to put solar panels, cement below a solar panel, stick some lithium batteries out there, and think they're going to gain anything by that. Well, it snows up here once in a while. And when it snows on a solar panel, it doesn't do anything. So they got heaters mounted in them. The solar panel barely has enough power to run the heater. So they're just going to melt
snow. So you need fossil fuels to prop the thing up. So, I mean, it is so absurd. It's not even, again, there's nothing logical about it. It's not right or left. It literally makes no sense. There's one thing if you're like, you know, I don't like coal and gas, let's do nuclear. But they're against nuclear, you know, and for obvious reasons, because the goal is not green. The goal is no energy. And, you know, again, folks, I want to encourage you that this is all taking place in red states because that's where most of the land is. We view this as like, oh, that green absurdity, places where I live, Baltimore, San Francisco, New York, they have these crazy edicts. Yeah, but the facilitation of the agenda, the infrastructure is built off the red states, and that's where we need to block this. There's real property and lives on the line here. And they talk a big game, but then won't even stop the most odious radical forms of I mean, stuff that we could have never imagined would happen in America today on this Flag Day. Well, thank you, Jared, for telling your story. Again, sdpropertyrights.com. May God be with you in this fight. Hope everything works out. We're certainly going to do everything we can from our end, and definitely keep us updated.
Will do. Thank you for me and the Pipeline family. We appreciate it because that's the one good thing I got about this. I met so many good people. It's unbelievable that are fighting the same fight, and we appreciate the help. We really do.
Absolutely. Glad to deliver. We're going to get this done. God bless you. Speak to you later. So again, folks, that was Jared Bosley, a Brown County, South Dakota land owner, who has his property about to be condemned and destroyed by a foreign green energy retarded company propped up by government subsidies. And Republicans are, it's not just that they're apathetic to it, they're actually all in on it. That's the thing, because Republicans are the power structure in that part of the country, so they control, they are controlled by and are in with the special interest. They literally, their fundraisers, their lobbyists, their staffers, all of them circle in and out of it to the point that Kristi Noem's former chief of staff is the lead attorney. If you look at some of these court documents, it will have his name on it, signing the petition to the, you know, district court there in the state to issue the condemnation. And again, that does, in South Dakota, they have bad laws. They need to be fixed. It doesn't have to run through the Utilities Commission, or some states have a public service commission. It runs, they don't have to do that. It's private use, eminent domain, for something as insane as carbon capture, which will grease the skids for net zero, happening in the most conservative part of the country. This is the greatest story not told, and it's emblematic of everything we're going through. You know, because we started out talking about how everyone thinks, oh, we won, ha-ha, we're owning the left. And Jared on his own, he didn't hear the first part of the show. He echoed that with the fact that Kristi Noem's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to stand up for landowners. And, you know, my daddy told me don't sell the land because that's they don't make more of that. And they'll literally do the opposite. And there's no pressure brought to bear on them. I just don't understand this. I don't understand how that's okay. Don't let me fight. Don't ask me to fight your battles. This is the, I mean, there are certain things, let's say theoretically, you know, someone comes in with green energy and they just do it on their own. They don't take anyone's land and there's no subsidies. There's no anything. And then, look, it's a free market, whatever. Usually there is. There's something that they're utilizing that you could stop. But in this case, it's literally a statute with public carriers that there is a piece of legislation to change. And she refused to voice support for an Allowed to Die, which, as you well know, what that means is when you have a supermajority and the governor is of the same party and the bill dies, it's because the governor wanted it to die. There's no middle ground. If she supported it, she would have voiced support for it. She obviously doesn't. You know, there's the same reason she's on the wrong side of the, you know, men and female sports and ending the employer-based vaccine mandates because of Sanford Health and everything. So Summit Carbon Solutions is just as powerful as Sanford Health in the Dakotas. And this is the problem. But notice he said it's 100 people. So if you want to know why there's not more outrage, that's why. They're very smart. It's very appropriate for this week. Everyone's like, yeah, and Trump himself said this last night, it's not about me, they're going to come for you. Dude, they already did. But the problem is they come in a very smart way. They bring generalized misery on people, but it's not bad enough that it gets them to react. You have to have your life personally on the line. So look, those people, they limit it to a certain amount. And people like Caitlin's husband, the captain, really a major at the Air Force Academy, Colorado Springs, and Jared Bosley, they represent the forgotten men. The forgotten men that every Republican, not just Trump, I'm saying every Republican now is like, oh, I'm for the blue-collar guy, the farmer, the this, the military. No, you're not. Because on the issue that actually matters, in the way the issue actually matters, and in the time the issue actually matters, in the best-case scenario, they're MIA, but all too often, they're downright on the other side. This is something, again, this is not Biden, this is not Congress, this is not Washington, this is not the media. This is a state where there are four or maybe three Democrats left in the state Senate, but the Republicans are really Democrats. And you have this amazing, popular, rising star, Kristi Noem, touted widely as a VP candidate, future presidential candidate. And she's allowing this. There's no middle ground. Okay? This is like having a vaccine mandate going on in your state. Of course you could stop it. Okay? She supports Summit Carbon Solutions. And I'll tell you why. Because what they do is they tell the state, we'll steal the land of 100 people, but you're going to get a ton of revenue ponied up by the federal government. And that's what they do. Now, it will lead us into the Stone Ages, but in the short term, these projects, the Fed set up a system where the red states are incentivized to get them. Oh, we're going to drain the swamp. Yeah, except when you get the money for it. This is the fraud of the Republican Party and the lack of focus from the conservative movement laid bare. This is not just about Trump, it's about everyone else. Yeah, but whenever anyone else is on the hook, you don't do anything for them. They stood silently for a year and a half with the military vaccine mandate. Mit the Trump, 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 Trump. Never about the working man, never about the farmer and the landowner, never about the people that were boxed out of their careers by the vaccine mandate, never about people like Daniel Penny and Daniel Perry being persecuted by BLM and, you know, that thing. It's always, and Trump himself to this day won't talk about Daniel Penny. But DeSantis evidently didn't talk enough about Trump, even though he totally defended him. We don't have time for this nonsense. But this is the problem, and it hasn't gotten bad enough. What does the flag mean to you on a day like today, on a year like this year, in the era in which we live? Let me know. Daniel Hurwitz at startmail.com is the email. At @RMConservative is the Twitter. If you could please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes so we can get ahead of the other noisy, aimless, vapid shows on the so-called right, I'd really appreciate it. Till tomorrow, God bless y'all, and thank you for listening.